This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 18 October 2019. Well, let me start off with the markets. I think the significant news this week actually is that the dollar has fallen rather hard this week against the euro and the British pound. I think this is attributable to the Brexit, which we have heard so much about on and off and on. So we'll have to wait and see what happens next week. As far as the metals are concerned, I'll come back to them, but the falling dollar could favor some foreign stocks at this point in time. And the German UK stock ETFs both were boosted because of the falling US dollar, and their currencies are doing better. The gold market and silver markets are in a trading range right now, so I'm not seeing anything significant as of this past week, and nor do I see anything significant happening over the next week, but time will tell. First article up is from CNBC. Awfully high risk of a global recession in the next 12 to 18 months, Moody's chief economist says. And of course, I think it's sooner than that, but when it's officially recognized that it is that we are in a recession, the U.S., the globe, that is usually after 6 months or so of really being in one. So, you know, take this not so much with a grain of salt, but realize that it's probably forecasting something that, again, will actually be in the midst of it before they officially admit it. This is typical. It's not unusual. They wait for a couple quarters before they actually say we're truly in a recession. I found this particular quote rather interesting. Consumers and households cannot be counted on to keep growth going. So really, the key is to come up with a set of policies that are going to spur a revival of business and consumer confidence and end up boosting investments. Well, this is ridiculous in my opinion, because first of all, the U.S. economy is 70% based on consumption, and a lot of people are broke. So they don't have excess capital to spend. Food prices will be going up. And of course, the stock market is floating on air basically because a lot of these large corporate entities have rebought their own stock, which means that they've contracted the supply of stock, causing the price to go up. And then they're paid a bonus for doing that. Interesting times. Anyway, I'll move on to the next. Hard to keep Zero Hedge out of the equation every week, although I think the last couple of weeks I haven't done an article by them. But this one, oops, IMF admits policy it was pushing for years has led world to edge of disaster. As the IMF holds its annual meeting in Washington this week, Thomas Adrian, its financial counselor and director of monetary and capital markets, discussed the latest global financial stability report carrying the ominous title, Lower for Longer. Although the institution still believes that low interest rates can basically help the economy, it's also increasingly concerned that such conditions have encouraged investors to take more risks in a quest to achieve higher returns. Well, isn't that news? Get ready, folks. I think we are not only going to see a recession, it could get further than that. It'll be interesting how it shakes out. It's going to be more of what you need, not what you want. Things are definitely going to contract and have been for some time. Next headline from the Daily Coin, my friend Rory. This is China, Russia, BRICS, and now the UAE. Everybody wants a gold trading platform. China started something when they opened the Shanghai Gold Exchange, where physical is traded in the global market. Russia's been trading gold futures on the Moscow Exchange, and was followed by Russia and China announcing they would open the BRICS Gold Exchange to assist their members and members of the BRICS alliance to acquire more gold. This was followed by India stating that it would be pursuing a gold spot exchange market. And next up is United Arab Emirates announcing they too are going to open a physical gold trading platform. Wow, that's a lot of physical gold changing hands on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. All this is pointing towards what seems to be a likely conclusion. A new gold pricing mechanism that is operated by the Shanghai Gold Exchange instead of COMEX in Chicago and New York or the LBMA. I was asked about this earlier by one of my members and asked what I thought of it. And one, I think it's good. You know, I like competing markets. I like more than one exchange. I hate the manipulation and control. I really want to see, you know, markets in all aspects be free and prices established by a real interchange between, you know, supply and demand and what people want and don't want and that type of thing. However, this sounds good on paper. I'm a little bit skeptical these days. Excuse me. And it's sort of a show me, don't tell me. I'm not saying that this won't have an effect. I'm sure it will. How big a one, I'm going to just watch for a while and wait and see. I mean, the Shanghai Gold Exchange has been around for a while. When it first started, you know, we thought, some thought that it would have be significant. And so far, it really hasn't been. So I'm going to remain rather quiet on this. And again, observe. I hope that it does, but I have yet to be convinced. Coming back for one more from CNBC. Addiction to cheap money will do tremendous damage to the global economy. The addiction to cheap money, that's the problem, not the solution, says Yaray Henrik Wong, a visiting scholar at the Econ U School of Public Policy at the Forbes Global CEO Conference in Singapore last Tuesday. U.S. President Donald Trump has consistently called for lower interest rates, tweeting in September that the Fed should cut interest rates to zero or even set negative rates. Low interest rates hurt lenders' profits as they narrow the margins that banks can earn. Went through the whole thing on interest rates in the Silver Manifesto. Talked about how the fractional reserve system works. And that's been, you know, overwritten about in people that follow the type of work or the Mises school, the Austrian school. But regardless, it never hurts to repeat it. And secondly, we move from that as a foundation, assuming that whoever was reading the book may not be familiar with that. And you needed the foundation, and we moved on to fractional reserve gold, which is basically how the system is set up. It's not a, you know, one-to-one correspondence by a long shot. And I think anyone listening to me now is well aware of that fact, but it's spelled out in that book pretty well. So I'm here on the U.S. debt clock. This has been coming up in a few of the lectures or interviews I've done lately. And Chris Duane of his website, his video channel, his YouTube channel, he's brought this up several times and a couple times recently. So there's a question about what is this dollar gold ratio of 7,500. So it says right at the top, you have to do is scroll your mouse over there and it tells you U.S. dollar to gold ratio now. The year-over-year increase in the U.S. money supply M2 divided by the yearly world production of gold in ounces. So it's dollars per ounce. It's the increase in M2. You can look up M2 on Google and determine what it is. The theoretical full gold coverage where every physical dollar that's in a checking, I shouldn't say physical, but every dollar that's either physical or in a checking account, in other words, M1, were to be covered by gold. It's right now, if we look at what the M1 money supply is, we see that the M1 money supply from the St. Louis Fed is $3,887.6 billions. So if you put that in terms of millions and you divide it by what the Treasury says they have in gold, this is U.S. only, not world now. This is U.S. money supply and U.S. gold supply, dollars per ounce. You will come out with about $14,000 and change for a full gold coverage of the M1 money supply. The reason I bring this up today is because if you did that, and this gives you the theoretical price of gold. So if you did that same exercise of the M1 money supply divided by ounces of gold that the Treasury says it has in 1980, you would come out with $400 the ounce. But most of us that follow the gold market know that it went to $850 on the spot market by 875 in the near-term futures market, which is double what a full gold cover clause would be. Full, 100%. Every dollar and every checking account entry out there would be covered by gold. In fact, it would cover it by double if the 850 price held, which obviously it did not. So the reason I just bring that up is that it is a way to look at it. So if you look at it now, obviously at, 14,000 and change doesn't make these $5,000 or $10,000 gold prices seem that extreme, at least in my opinion. Now, if you did it with silver, that's another story altogether. And you'd have that same numerator, the 3887.6 divided by zero, which is infinity. So I had to say that as a laugh, but nonetheless, if you just covered the money supply, the M1, by all the silver in the world on an annual basis, which is about 850 million ounces, you come out with $4,500 silver. Now, I'm not applying that that's the correct price whatsoever at all. What I'm suggesting for your consideration is how vastly underpriced silver is relative to not only gold, but everything else out there. Certainly, I believe we still have a big run ahead of us, but it'll take a while to work out of this trading range that we're currently in. Lots going on with the trade war situation. And then, of course, what I just reported earlier in this broadcast about the euro doing better and this Brexit move and everything else that goes to the international monetary scene. A lot of it is smoke and mirrors and just entertainment, really. When it gets down to the basics, that's what I've tried to report on basically my entire career, because it's very important that people understand the basis of money and why it is inevitable that we have further problems ahead. We certainly saw some, and we're experiencing them now. Many people are not doing as well now as they were, say, a decade ago. Regardless, remember that only the truth works. If you're wrong, promptly admit it. Just move on. None of us are perfect, but if you're living a lie in your personal life, it's always good to, get it out there. And the old adage, being brutally honest, honesty without love can be brutality. I mean, not suggesting you need to be brutally honest, but honesty is the best policy. Sorry for the little lecture, but I do like to end with something philosophical. There are more important things in this world than money. I know it. You know it. I'll be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.